content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Investopedia and also continuing our readings from the book Money Hacks. Our first article from Investopedia is titled, Give Your Money a Job: How to Use Investing to Preserve Wealth When Inflation Runs High. As you aim to maximize the future financial benefit of the money you have today, inflation is one of many factors that you'll have to keep in mind. If you hold on to your cash or even deposit it in an ordinary checking or savings account, inflation will chip away at the value of your money. Consider your options to limit the bite of inflation as you seek to make the most out of your money. Protecting dollar value. Inflation became an inescapable story in the last few years, making headlines not just in financial publications, but across the media spectrum. While it's best to avoid overreacting to sometimes the coverage of inflation, you may want to be realistic about the erosion of the value of your money. To illustrate the impact of inflation, imagine that you had $10,000 at the beginning of the year, following a 6.5% jump in consumer prices over 12 months, you would have needed an additional $10,650 at the end of the year just to avoid the same amount of goods and services, to afford the same amount of goods and services. This decline in purchasing power, which becomes more dramatic over longer time frames, is something to keep in mind when managing your money. As you direct money towards long-term goals, if inflation exceeds the returns on your investments, you're essentially losing out. If we're holding a lot of cash, something that pays 0% like your typical checking account, then we're almost automatically losing money with that proposition, said H. Jude Bordax, CFP and Senior Financial Planner at the Planning Center in New Orleans. It's not to say that we don't want to have cash that's immediately available. That's really an important part of an overall financial plan. We just want to get the most yield that we can on that cash while we're holding it. If you will need access to your money in the coming months to pay for everyday expenses or an emergency, then it's advisable to keep your funds in an easily accessible cash account, even if inflation outpaces your return. The good news is that during inflationary periods, the Federal Reserve responds with interest rate hikes, allowing you to earn more on safe cash investments, such as savings accounts or certificates of deposits. For example, during the end of the year, the Fed's rate hikes aimed at stalling inflation had boosted the Fed funds rate, the benchmark used to adjust rates on interest-based products, to a range of 4.25% upwards to 4.5%. If you had your emergency fund stashed in a top online savings account at that time, you were earning an annual percentage yield of more than 4% on your deposit. While this might not seem like a bad return on money that remains safe and accessible, it's still below the 6.5% annualized inflation rate. That may be palatable for money you might need to draw on relatively soon, but when it comes to saving and investing to achieve goal stretching further into the future, it's vital to outmaneuver inflation with higher returns, which will require taking more risk. According to Tequila Swan, a Phoenix-based private client advisor at J.P. Morgan Chase Wealth Management, inflation can present challenges, but it doesn't have to derail your progress towards longer-term goals. Headlines are sometimes scary, but having a financial plan that you stick to will help lead to success, she says. Even if you need to adjust the amount of money you're saving or investing towards a goal, it's important to continue setting money aside, if possible, even as costs rise. Finding the ideal job for your money. Once you have funds in place to cover near-term expenses and provide a cushion in case of an emergency, you can turn your attention to the future. While inflation chips away at your future wealth, the power of compounding works in your favor as you look to grow your money. Even so, interest-bearing investments likely won't be enough to generate the returns you need to achieve your long-term goals. So you'll need to adopt a more aggressive strategy. If you'll need the money soon, if you're approaching retirement, for example, you should try to minimize risk. For longer-term goals, you can likely afford to take more risks, Swan says. The stock market is where investors often look for higher returns to increase the chance of growing their wealth. From its inception in 1928 through the end of 2021, the S&P 500, a benchmark for the performance of U.S. stocks, posted annualized returns of 11.8%. However, as the S&P 500's 19.4% plunge in 2022 made clear, not every year will be a bumper year for stocks. Taking on more risk in hopes of generating higher returns means coming to terms with the potential for losses. If something can go up a tremendous amount, it can go down a tremendous amount too, and we need to be on some level okay with either of those outcomes. The best option for your money has a lot to do with how and when you ultimately intend to use it. Match the investment to the time horizon, Bordack says. If we have a longer time horizon for this investment, we can hopefully be more aggressive and seek more return, and be able to manage any volatility that might come along the way. The bottom line. Inflation is one of many challenges that you will encounter along your financial journey. But if you're clear about your goals and strategize accordingly, you can still achieve success. By aligning your investments with your intentions, you'll maximize your chances of counterbalancing inflation and reaching your goals. Our next article, also from Investopedia, the burden of high interest rates. Why strategically paying off expensive debt is so important. Paying off debt typically means paying interest, but some debt is more expensive than others. Higher interest rates can hinder your progress in paying down debt, which in turn can prevent you from achieving other financial goals. Even diligent efforts can lead to discouragement. The feeling is similar to walking in mud or sand. You never feel like you can take a full step forward, says Nate Hoskin, a certified financial planner and founder of Denver-based Hoskin Capital. It feels like each dollar saved is another dollar spent on interest payments. You may have experienced this burnout feeling if you've tried to make headway with credit card balances or other debts with little success. However, you can create a plan for conquering your debt by understanding the true cost of higher interest rates. Interest on interest. Compounding interest is essentially the way interest can snowball. While interest on interest can work in your favor if you're earning the interest, such as in a savings account or investment, it can quickly become burdensome when you are paying it on debt. Compounding makes debt more expensive because you pay interest on your total debt balance, including any interest from previous periods, Hoskin said. Many credit cards compound daily, meaning new interest is added to your account every day. Rising interest rates magnify the impact of compounding. When the Federal Reserve increased the federal funds rate 7 times in 2022 to curb inflation, credit card interest rates rose in tandem. According to the Federal Reserve's bank's G19 report, the average credit card interest rate on accounts that were assessed interest was 20.4% at the end of November 2022. Rising rates combined with inflation have pressured consumer finances in the past year. The breaking point for being unable to pay off your debt, according to Hoskins, is when interest rates rise to a point where you no longer can afford to pay off the interest that accrues. Despite making a payment each month, the debt continues to grow rather than shrink. A real-life example. The significant impact of rising interest rates is something Tiffany Grant, an accredited financial counselor and host of the Money Talk with Tiff podcast, has experienced firsthand. Grant, who bought her first house at age 26, has spent the last 8 years chipping away at more than $140,000 in non-mortgage debt. That total includes nearly $27,000 in credit card debt, a $44,000 car loan, and $70,000 in student loans. According to Grant, the interest rates on her auto loan and student loans are less than 5 and 7% respectively, and her credit card APRs range from 10% to 27.74%. These days, she said, she's feeling the pinch of higher rates. I made a lot of headway when the interest rate environment was lower, Grant said. But now she feels like she's stuck on a hamster wheel because she can only afford to pay the minimums on her cards and has no opportunity to save for retirement or other goals. So is it better to pay off high interest debt or invest it? Debt costs can easily override investing gains in many cases. Compounding interest can work against you on high interest debts. On the other hand, it's one of the most effective tools for building wealth when you are receiving interest on investments. Investing offers the potential to earn significantly more returns than simply holding your money as cash. For example, if you start contributing $500 a month to a Roth individual retirement account that yields an average return of 7% when you're 25, you would have $1.28 million by the time you're 65. If you began at age 35 instead, your total savings would be just over $606,000, or roughly half. So you might assume that contributing towards investments should be a top priority. However, in many cases, paying off high interest debt should take precedent. Even with average annual gains in the stock market of 10%, according to Hoskin, high interest debt can easily be more costly and offset any gains. The interest paid on debt exceeds the money made from investments, he said. This leads to an unchanged or even reduced net worth. Paying high interest debt versus investing. Comparing annual investment gains versus total credit card interest paid over a year can help you determine whether to use extra funds to invest or pay off debt. For example, say you deposit $6,000 or $500 per month into a Roth IRA and earn a 7% annual return. In 1 year, it would grow to $6,420, meaning you would earn $420. Now let's look at your financial picture if you applied those $500 payments towards a high-interest credit card balance. Say you had a credit card balance with an APR of 25% and the balance was $10,000, that required a minimum payment of $250. If you made only the minimum payment, it would take you 7 years and 3 months to pay it off. and you'd pay $11,724 in interest. However, if you increased your monthly payments to $500 per month, it would take you only 2 years and 3 months to pay off the balance, and you would pay $3,070 in total interest. You would have saved a total of $8,654 in interest, or about $3,846 annually over that period of 2 years and 3 months. From this example, you can see that it is in your best financial interest to avoid paying $3,846 instead of gaining $420. If the interest rate on the debt is more than double the current prime rate, then the debt takes priority over all savings and investing goals, Hoskins said. Prioritizing high interest debt. High interest debt can be a financial drain and create unwanted stress. Paying off debts can allow you to pursue other goals, such as building an emergency fund, saving money for a down payment on a home, or building a retirement nest egg. The longer you carry high interest debt, the more you will pay. Your credit score can also suffer if you're carrying large balances. Reducing debt can help you improve your credit utilization ratio, which can boost your credit score and potentially save you money on interest rates in the future. Here are some practical strategies for paying off high interest debt. Avalanche repayment. The debt avalanche repayment method prioritizes credit cards with the highest APR. This method helps maximize interest savings. Snowball method. The debt snowball repayment method involves paying as much money as possible to your lowest balance debt first. As you pay off the first debt, roll its payment over to the card with the next lowest balance and continue to do so until all balances are paid off. Consistency. This is the absolute key when you're trying to pay down debt. For example, if your current minimum payment is $100, you could continue to make that payment each month, even if the amount you're required to pay goes down as your balance decreases. It's a small way to hack your payments and pay off debts a little faster. And the bottom line, paying off high interest debt can help you stay on the path to financial health. While the journey may look different for everyone, taking the first step is what matters the most. The best way to manage high interest debt is to take action with a plan strategy. For more guidance with your specific situation, consider consulting always, if necessary, with a professional financial advisor. Our next article from Investopedia. Debt consolidation versus debt settlement. Is either option right for you? If tackling your debt using an avalanche or snowball method is not right for you, there are other options. Debt consolidation and debt settlement are both financial strategies used for managing debt, but they function quite differently and are used to resolve different issues. At a very basic level, debt settlement is useful for reducing the total amount of debt owed, while debt consolidation is useful for reducing the total number of creditors you owe. As a consumer, it is possible to receive secondary benefits through either strategy, particularly debt consolidation. So which strategy is right for you? How consolidation works. Debt consolidation is the process of using new financing to pay off other debts. If you are saddled with different kinds of debts, you can apply for a loan to consolidate those debts into a single liability and pay them off as one loan. Payments are then made on the new debt until it's paid off in full. Debt consolidation can provide a lower interest rate, which can lower the cost of your overall debt. It can also lower your monthly payment amount to make paying your bills easier. Finally, some people consolidate debt so that they can pay only one lender instead of multiple lenders to simplify their bills. And as long as you don't take out any additional debt, you can likely get rid of your debt faster. You can roll old debt into new debt in several different ways, such as using a new personal loan, credit card, or home equity loan. Then you pay off your smaller loans with the new one. If you're using a new credit card to consolidate other credit card debt, for example, you can make a credit card balance transfer from your original cards to your new one. It's important to note that in the case of debt consolidation, creditors are often willing to work with you to increase the likelihood that you will repay the debt. Debt consolidation can also impact your credit score. While it could temporarily affect your credit score negatively because of a credit inquiry, in the long term, it can help your credit score if you use it correctly. Most people who make their new payments on time find that their credit score increases significantly as they avoid missing payments and decrease their percentage of utilization. The risk of consolidation. Debt consolidation can provide several financial advantages, but it also has downsides to consider. Depending on how you consolidate your loans, you could risk paying more in total interest. For example, if you take out a new loan with lower monthly payments but a longer repayment term and a higher interest rate, you will likely pay more in total interest. If you plan to go this route, make sure that the consolidation process saves you money and that upfront costs by debt consolidation services do not affect your ability to make timely payments. Debt consolidation services often charge hefty initial and monthly fees, so it's best to consider consolidating debt on your own with a personal loan from a bank or a low-interest credit card. How settlement works. Debt settlement is an agreement or negotiation between a lender and a borrower for a large one-time payment towards an existing balance in return for the forgiveness of the remaining debt. It is often used when a borrower cannot pay for unsecured debt like credit card debt. If you're in a situation in which you have a substantial lump sum of money, like $10,000, and you have spiraling credit card debt, settling that debt may be a good option to improve your financial health. For example, if you owe $20,000 on a credit card, you may want to contact the credit card company and offer to pay $10,000 in return for debt forgiveness for the remaining $10,000. The credit card issuer ultimately wants to protect its bottom line, so they may agree to a debt settlement to try to avoid more losses if you fail to pay the full balance. You can try to negotiate debt settlement on your own, but it's typically done through a third party, such as a debt relief company, which negotiates on your behalf. With this method, you will make payments to the debt settlement company along with fees. Once you finalize your debt settlement with your lender, get the agreement in writing. If a credit card company only verbally agrees to a debt settlement, they can still legally turn over the remaining balance to a collections agency, which can have a larger impact on your credit score than a settlement. About half of debt settlement cases are resolved, according to the Federal Trade Commission. The risk of settlement. Although debt settlement has the advantage of improving your current financial situation and cash flow, there are risks and downsides to consider. First, a debt settlement will typically lower your credit score. This will make it more difficult for you to get a credit or good interest rate in the future. A debt settlement will typically remain on your credit report for 7 years, and you cannot remove it before then. However, settling a debt will have less impact on your score than failing to pay completely would. Another drawback for many people is that debt settlement requires you to have a substantial amount of cash on hand. If you don't have that money, you will need to consider how you will get the funds. Debt settlement companies often have you make regular payments to them towards an escrow-like account to be used for the payment of that credit to that credit card company. Another potential drawback is that when you settle debt, you could face tax consequences. For example, if you settle a $20,000 debt for $10,000, you may have to pay income tax on the remaining $10,000 that you had owed. Finally, when you settle a debt, you risk having your credit card account closed after the settlement is complete. So you could potentially have no credit line and no ability to use a credit card to make purchases. And the bottom line, if you're considering the best way to manage debts, then you may be weighing debt consolidation against debt settlement. One may be a better choice for you than the other, as there's no one-size-fits-all solution to debt management. When deciding which strategy is the best for you, consider your personal financial situation and the risk involved with both options. Consulting with a financial advisor for guidance on the options that may best fit your personal situation may be beneficial too. And as we wrap up the program today, we will try to get in one quick money hack from our book's Money Hack, which is hack number 113, boost your credit score. One frustrating aspect of your credit score is that lenders use it to determine if you're a reliable borrower, but your report doesn't show all your other good financial habits outside of credit cards or loans. What about your sparkling payment history for your utilities? You've always paid your rent early, or your consistent cash flow to other payment sources. Several programs can help you increase your credit score by adding elements to your credit history. Ultra FICO. Credit scoring system FICO allows you to opt in to Ultra FICO, which pulls in information about the balances for your checking, savings, and money market accounts to show that you have consistent banking history. It doesn't replace your score if you already have enough credit history for a FICO score. It simply creates a new score with the additional information included. FICO says that 7 in 10 people who sign up find that they have an Ultra FICO score that's higher than their regular score. You can choose to share your Ultra FICO score with lenders when it's time to make your next big financial decision. And we're out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and please be sure to listen again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.